Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Third switch has been thrown. It is a minute past the hour on this, the 19th day of May, 2016. We are, in fact, broadcasting merrily along, and I'm being told in the chat room, dead air here, according to Laborman, Gary, our buddy, who put a challenge on the table last night that was not responded to. Let me see if we're getting audio over there yet. Well, this is just beautiful. Oh, enough with the drum loop already. Hold on. Okay, well, let me see what's going on here. Okay, I am told by... I'm still trying to sort this out. I don't know why this has to be such an ordeal. Stand by. Well, so I'm trying to sort out if we're actually sending out a stream, because I show that we're sending out a stream. my little interface says streaming, and I've got two happy little blue bars that are going up and down with the sound of my voice. And yes, again, it is the 19th day of May, 2016. For those of you who listen by podcast or whatever, I apologize. So there we go. But maybe we're getting it. Yeah, see, okay, Jug of Punch says, there we go. Thank you, Jug. Thank you, Man Cave. The chat room is telling me, well, part of the chat room, Trey says, I'm getting the Green News Report on TuneIn. Man Cave says, I hear you on TuneIn. Many exclamation points. Laborman says, White Rose was working for a replay just before 6 p.m. Yeah, I turned that off. And I started the live broadcast. Asa says, 48K is streaming, but no sound. I can hear you on 24K on TuneIn. Oh, for Christ's sake. Well, and that's not for Christ's sake at you, Asa. This is the part that I have no damn control over. So, Asa, if you wouldn't mind telling me, how in God's name the 48K could be streaming but no sound, but the 24K is working fine. Lottie's getting 404 errors on all streams. Okay, we got to get this sorted out, and not to be a diva or anything, but this is unworkable. Stand by. And I'll keep minute. All right, I'm back from silence. What I was doing in the interim, was trying to find out what stream was working and what stream wasn't. This is a live program. We're live right now at 6:11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the 19th day of May, 2016. Okay. So, I'm getting loud and quick, but, so here's how it is. The 24K stream is streaming, but the 48K stream isn't. The 8 and the 12, I don't think so either. Okay, thank you, Labor Man. Lima Charlie now on TuneIn. I appreciate that. I think we're getting a program out. God, it shouldn't be like this, but... And it wasn't like this last night. It wasn't like this last night. It wasn't like this Tuesday.
With the internet, there'll always be gremlins.
Yeah. Okay, you got to give me a minute here. Thank you, Anatole. Agnes sounds lovely, Mr. Bob, Anatole says. This is madness. Okay, this really is madness. There's Scott in San Diego, loud and clear via TuneIn here in San Diego. And yet I'm also being told White Rose stream is still dead. And I'm also answering a bajillion emails and so forth. Oh, I need a staff. God almighty, I need a staff. Because there was so much to talk about this evening. And there may yet be. I mean, there's still a lot to talk about. It's just... Okay, slowly but surely, I'm trying to get some semblance of order going here. I'm getting messages. I mean, for instance, Randy in PA is forever. He's like clockwork, telling me that I'm live on live on his PC. I can't seem to play the horn stream on iTunes. Let me put out a tweet real quick, and I'll be back, and we might get a show started here. to everybody listening to the podcast, just, you know, fast forward till you get to audio again, I guess. We'll get at this in a minute. All right, I'm going to pretend we are not having weird-ass problems with our stream, because at least on one of them, we're not. oh, God bless you for the laugh, or, you know, dog, or flying spaghetti monster, or whatever. God bless you for the laugh, Asa. Loud and clear on my Commodore 64 on TuneIn, Bob. Yeehaw! Sister Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, saying, you're on, I think. There you are. Laborman's Bob, say shit once in a while. Shit once in a while, okay? No, really, shit once in a while. It's really good for you. I'm not in the best of shape right now. It's been kind of an unpleasant, stressful week. And it's not all related to the horn. Some of it's just the day to day joy of being me. The stress just keeps on and on and on and on. And, yep, something just blew into my fucking hair. Huh? I hope it was a stink bug and not like the wasp from hell or something. Little bombarding bastards. It's life on Earth, Bob. It's all life. Letting go, Bob. Letting go. Okay, here, let me, the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansasstan is marvelously coherent, noting, when you're on, I'm hearing you on TuneIn, you know, in Kansasstan. Okay, that makes sense. Lottie says, Bob, it sounds like the server's kicking out bad packets and needs to be rebooted. Some computers can handle the bad packets and some cannot. Lottie typed that at like 20 minutes after 6 on the 19th day of May, 2016. I just keep sending out time and date checks. And I've also been told that we're okay at, loud and clear at FYINation.com. So we got that going for us, which is great. Big hitter, the llama. Drinking, 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 drinking. Just need to be tequila. Happy birthday, okay? I want to make sure that we get this. Happy birthday to our dear friend Tim from L.A., who is in the chat room. I hope you've had a lovely day, and I hope it continues to be a lovely day. Heather says, I can hear you. Life is weird sometimes. Isn't it? Okay, 5x5 on TuneIn on a Logitech, according to Lottie. Isn't this fun? This is a blast. Meanwhile, labor man Gary out in New Mexico says, my PC says server unavailable. You know what? My cerebral cortex says composure unavailable. Thank you, James. Thank you. Loud and clear on TuneIn here in Idaho, Stan. I haven't heard from Robert in Australia yet, so I don't know if we're getting diagonally up over the pond. Yeah. So maybe I got something new to... And there's Gerald. Gerald says had to reboot. All is well. I don't think it was a reboot issue, Gerald, but like stagging, not pole Frazzleak and blue nose. let's try to get a show going here for the love of. Can we, pretty please? No, really? Please? Yes, let's do. And that's on me and not you. I did mention when nobody was hearing, but Labor Man put a $100 challenge on the table last night. It went unresponded to. So, just saying, you know, we try to raise $200 every evening, and I'm gonna make mention of that. Let's see. I wanna go to. We haven't had a nice email from our buddy Scott in a while, and this being Thorn in the Side Thursday, I think this fits rather nicely. With the whole thorn in the side concept. I'll be quite candid. I'm sick. Whatever it is that my gut does from time to time, it's doing, and I'm pretty damn miserable. But trying to get through things. Tomorrow is going to be a screaming season in hell. The Skype machine is still not operational. I've stuck audio cords into just about everything you can stick an audio cord in. Not that! Perverts. And still nothing, so I'm probably going to have to bite the bullet on some sort of audio interface. Joy. Okay, yeah, that's bizarre. Gerald said it told me the same thing. File not available. I restarted the PC and it's fine now. We got a lovely note from our buddy Scott, and our buddy Scott, of course, is the author and progenitor of the Beat the Swede All Year Long Challenge. We've done that. Here we go. Every time, Scott writes, every time I hear somebody flirting with the idea of a third party, or, God forbid, Trump the wild card, a turd solidifies. When are we ever going to pay homage to the evil bastards who have invented such a perfectly crooked system as a two-party state? Genius! Pure evil genius! There's a reason why Bernie is but the most recent Sisyphus. Actually, it's remarkable how far this one has come, so maybe the curse will be broken by today's youth if they follow the words of a Swede, Joel Hägglund. Don't waste time in mourning. Organize. We should celebrate Bernie Sanders. He has shown us our potential. That almost 50% of the participatory Democratic voters have heard and responded is truly remarkable. What's more, this was done in the face of some pretty crooked dealing. I take great heart in Black Lives Matter, Occupy, and the high number of youth becoming involved. Demographics! Woo-woo! Double elevated fist pump. The chance of Bernie pulling this off was always very low, and unfortunately, he is not Kirk Gibson. Baseball reference. Look it up. But if we learn our lesson, and this is where we really get into the meaty part of the note. This is why I knew I had to be on air this evening, frankly. When I could have sort of just crawled between the sheets and laid there and hurt for a while. If we learn our lesson, the same lesson the right learned after Goldwater's defeat, we will realize that victory comes after a long, slogging campaign. Bernie didn't come into existence in 2016, but represents the culmination of a lifetime of involvement. And that's what we must foster now, getting kids and young adults involved, excited, taking over local Democratic parties, and running for offices at all levels to get the training they need to become the next Bernies. Now we have the internet. Woo-woo! Double elevated fist pump! Whereas before, people had to fight mostly in isolation. Today, they can be surrounded by a supportive community. Of course, the moribund and corrupt Democratic Party, ain't it? It are. Is not going to do the wise thing and look at Clinton and Bernie's polls versus Trump. This election promises to be the great American tragedy we've all feared was coming. Make no mistake, it will be a well-deserved disaster in the sense that the U.S. is a supposed democracy. And the majority seems to have satisfied itself for decades with apathy or patriotoid mythology. What a word. I'm going to buy that. I'm going to buy patriotoid and put it on my mantle like Mark Twain used to do with German compound nouns. The majority seems to have satisfied itself for decades with apathy or patriotoid mythology taken directly from An Idiot's Guide to History and Politics as published and broadcast by our many radios Rwanda. Those ancient Greeks figured out the human condition pretty well. The left has its many Cassandras, bless them all. But it looks like the Shinola needs to hit the ambient air redistribution device before the message sinks in. Watergate wasn't enough. Bebe Rebozo, Spiro Agnew, the Nixon pardon, the great SNL heist, Iran-Contra, Patco, James Watt, Jack Abramoff. You can do that to a Jack? You can do that to a Bram? Tom DeLay, heck of a job Brownie, dismissal of U.S. attorneys, 1040Ks, Enron, Walter Reed neglect, housing loan scams, and that's just grazing the surface. The greedy bastards just can't show restraint. And this election may be their crowning achievement. I do believe, Brother Bob Rebob, that the next administration, the chumps may finally be smartened up. Forget the Tea Party. I'm thinking 1789, you know, liberté, égalité, fraternité. May I propose the Bible for the goddess of irony? Barbara Tuchman's The March of Folly, where she describes humanity's persistent pursuit of policies doomed to blow back despite the many warnings to not pursue clearly self-defeating policies. I hadn't even considered that, Scott. And spot on. And I'm a big Barbara Tuchman fan. I love both The Guns of August and A Distant Mirror. But I had forgot about The March of Folly. And I did so to my own chagrin. But it's there. And it's worth it. And it may very well be. I think it is. Let's just say no wishy-washy. Let's just say it is, as Scott has said, the Bible of the goddess of irony. If you've never read it, you owe it to yourself. So, our buddy Scott continues. Barring wisdom at the DNC, strap in for a rough ride. In the meantime, organize, organize, organize to be there to pick up the pieces. Sans Bernie, I really hope Hillary wins, if only to fill the Supreme Court gaps, but man, am I ever sick of the way the DNC kicks its left wing in the nuts. Yes, that is another messed mix of four. You can't type that stuff and expect me to get... That is another messed mix of four. And cynically smiles, knowing that we have to choose them, the lesser of two weevils, like the old Brooklyn Dodgers. Wait till next year. It's coming, says our buddy Scott. Demographics! Woo-woo! Double elevated fist pump! Our buddy Scott. So there you have it. And I'm with Scott on all counts here. I don't like what I see coming. Our good friend Jay, in either Arizona Stan or Mexico, depending on which side of the border he's living on. Oh, there you are, you little. I can't take you outside right now either, so I'll just have to. And there you go. Stink bug. It was a stink bug, not the hornet from hell or anything. He didn't like being flicked. I didn't even squish him, damn it! Anyway, our dear friend Jay says, when do we stop campaigning for Trump? And if I understood that correctly, the fear is that critiquing Hillary Clinton is somehow campaigning for Trump, and I can understand that concern. I really can. But see, here's the thing. I don't think there are people out there in the United States of America, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever in the universe. Hallelujah, amen, praise Jesus. God we trust. Given the polarizing nature of Mrs. Clinton, I don't think there's anybody out there in the United States right now that's sitting there saying, Hillary, Trump, Hillary. I just don't know. It's so complicated. And I'm not being smartass. I don't think those people exist. Hillary Clinton is such a polarizing figure that after 25 years in the national political limelight, there's nobody who's ambivalent about her. Me, I still stick by what I've been saying. If she's the nominee, and that just pisses the Hilarians off to no end when you say if she's the nominee. But, as she reminded us, anything can happen in June in California. Because that's what... That's what she, Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton, said back in 2008, that she wasn't giving up until after the California primary because anything can happen in California. She said, like Bobby Kennedy. Because she really did that. So I think, we are entitled to use those same words, are we not? I do not wish any ill on her. I wish she was a better candidate than she is. I wish she was a better campaigner than she is. But she is straight up flat awful at this. Brilliant administrator, I guess. Brilliant bureaucrat. But getting out there and pressing the flesh and saying, "Hi, I love you." No, not so much. And again, I acknowledge the reality that a lot of the hatred for her is manufactured by the right wing. But even if it's manufactured by the right wing, it's still there. And, I pay attention to nothing. The Benghazi, nothing. Email, nothing. Vince Foster, nothing. Oh, but it gets a little different with paraphrasing a 2,000 years gone genocidalist. That's different. That's what you call in baseball an unforced error. You know what I'm talking about. It was around 47 BC when, by the writings of Appian, Gaius Julius Caesar wrote a letter to the Roman Senate, and he was famous for his letter writing to apprise them of his campaigns. Julius Caesar bragged of having killed millions of Gauls in his campaign in Western Europe. But he's less remembered for his campaign against a ruler of Pontus. And I never see the name of Pontus that I don't remember a dear friend of the program whom I fear is gone years back, because we heard from him and then we didn't. But I'm not going to say his name because I don't know for sure. But his people, his father had immigrated from Greece to, and I believe it was Thessaly, from Greece to Australia. And we used to have lovely interchanges via email and Skype and things like that. But he always reminded me that his people had come from Pontus. And Pontus was a sort of nation-state, such as the time permitted, on the Black Sea, and the Romans went to war with them periodically. And so Caesar went to war against a guy named Pharnaces II, and defeated him at the Battle of Zela. And the Battle of Zela was kind of quickly dealt with. And so writing back, according to Suetonius and Plutarch and Appian, writing back to the Roman Senate in somewhere around 47 BCE, Caesar remarked, "Weni, weedy, weaky." And those are all in the past tense, meaning I came, I saw, I conquered. We talked about this some last night, and I can't get it off my mind. I apologize for that. Because there are some things that are such an affront to common human decency that they are not easily let go of. And when she was being interviewed by, I guess, Diane Sawyer or Andrea Mitchell one of those for-profit media reporters, and was asked about the death of Muammar Gaddafi, Hillary Clinton responded, and you know this from last night, "We came, we saw, he died." And the laugh is very much like that. I mean, as in creepy. Here's the clip with some context around it. Shall we? Yeah. Now, remember, the man she's laughing about, the man whose death she is laughing about, and I guess maybe she read her Caesar, but she didn't read her John Donne, "Ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee," which is kind of a commentary on life and death. Well, yes, let's all agree. Muammar Gaddafi, terrible example of a member of the human species. Brutal dictator who killed his own people, just like Saddam Hussein. But gosh, didn't it work out well when we removed Saddam Hussein from power and created a horrendous vacuum over there that she voted for, that she helped to empower, that she helped to enable. That worked out, and it's still working out equally well in Libya. And so, yes, the reporting is that Muammar Gaddafi, terrible human being, died being raped with a sword. Just let that sink in. Some, I suppose, would approve of that. I don't know. I guess there are some people on this earth, you say, are so awful that there's not enough bad things that can happen to them. But then again, we are Merca. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever in the universe, under God. And one thinks that maybe we ought to be a little bit better than this. I mean, because there's something, because the, you know, there's a retributive angle. And we have not typically shown ourselves as being retributive. You know, unless the folks were retributing on ain't white. I mean, if we were, I mean, you know, consider the Holocaust. If it was about retribution, well, then we would have just kept the ovens going at the death camps and started and you know, maybe marched 6 million innocent Germans. You know, not members of the Wehrmacht, not members of the SS. Not the leadership, just marched 6 million innocent Germans into the death camps and called it even. But as Gandhi pointed out, an eye for an eye and the world goes blind. That was Gandhi, wasn't it? And so maybe we don't do exactly the right thing when we giggle about a man being raped to death with a sword. Here we go. Let's see what we got here. Oh, of course, some smart ass has to. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're gonna need a different piece of video here.
Yeah. Apparently so. And then I'll see you. Tomorrow. Thanks.
Okay, so what we have here is we've got raw camera footage of a sit-down interview with Hillary Clinton.
Wow. Huh. Unconfirmed. Yeah,
she's looking at her handheld device. It looks like maybe a BlackBerry or an I something. Who knows? And she just says, wow. Unconfirmed. Okay. And she hands the device back to Huma Abedin.
Unconfirmed. No. Unconfirmed reports about Gaddafi being captured.
Really?
Unconfirmed. Yeah, we've had too many. We've had a bunch of those before. We've had, you know, have had him captured a couple of times.
So I mean, that is the land of unconfirmed.
Yes, we came, we saw, he died.
Did it have anything to do with your visit?
No, oh, I'm sure it did.
Wow. We came, we saw, he died. I can't get okay with that. I particularly can't, I'm not okay with a presidential candidate of the United States quoting Caesar. At least not in that context. Galliae est omnis divisa in partes tres. The whole of Gaul is divided into three parts. You know, that's just a geographic observation by Caesar. Waney, let me see if I can get my old high school college Latin's working for me. Wainimus, Wiedemus, no. Yeah, Wainimus, Wiedemus, Mortawit. We came, we saw, he died. Ha! Oh, I made a witty bun. Oh, chuckle, 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 chuckle. Randy, in PA, says, the problem I have with Hillary is that she is enriching her family indirectly on the public dime, sort of like Darth Cheney. Interesting you had mentioned Darth Cheney there, Count Dicula, Randy, because remember, Agnes and I were talking earlier today. She had a doctor's appointment, and we talk on, while we're driving. And she said, it's almost like Hillary Clinton and Dick Cheney are some kind of kin. I said, you mean the ideological children of Henry Kissinger? Agnes said, that! Because it's true. They both studied at the foot of the bloodthirsty master. Hillary and Dick did. With war criminal Henry Kissinger. And, you know, I'll bet, let's see how it sounds, let's see how the Latin sounds in Kissinger. We came, we saw, he died. Ha, 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 ha. Mein Führer, I can walk! Oh, so that's Peter Sellers. And under almost any other circumstance, that would be enough to disqualify a Democratic Party presidential candidate. But in this case, I guess it's not. And so what we are going to be watching what we're going to be watching as this election unfolds, if it unfolds the way I expect it to, because, yes, California, you do hold the fate of the nation in your hands, in your millions and millions of hands, tens of millions, hundreds of millions. Nah, tens of millions. Let's stay with tens of millions. But the polling data suggests that Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton has a narrow lead over Bernie. That may change because, remember, Hillary Clinton's numbers never go up. They always go down. And that's not my fault or yours or ours. That's hers. And you know what? Debbie Wasserman Schultz probably ought to know that and probably does know that, but she's ignoring it because, man, the odds are if Hillary can just win the presidency, awesome things are going to happen for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Awesome. There's all kinds of favor to be curried out there. Randy noted, I view the Clinton Foundation as it is described in the general media, a slush fund. When we invest in our 401ks, a portion of our money is ending up in the Clinton Foundation and also as a hedge fund salary for Chelsea Clinton. Although Bernie may eventually have the opportunity to keep his excess fundraising, I don't think that's his goal. And I don't think he gets to keep his excess fundraising. You can donate it to another campaign. You can spend it on. I look back, and he didn't have near the money that Bernie's raised, but Bernie's spending it too. Dennis Kucinich tried opening a political action committee that would support progressive candidates. Bless him. But this is, you know, this is what we're faced with. Ah, that's okay, that's true. Unforced errors are in tennis, as Marty points out. I think of them in terms of I think of them in terms of the second baseman who fields the ball, grabs the ball, and everything should be routine, and instead of throwing the ball to the first baseman, you know, accidentally lets go of it over his right shoulder. In baseball, they are mental errors, Marty says, and I will defer to Marty on that. Marty says, I do wish some bad to come to Hillary, bad in the form of a couple of indictments. It's not her personally I dislike, it's her actions and lying that's getting to me. And points to a link headlined, Hillary Clinton says race against Bernie Sanders is done. And as Marty points out, it ain't even the ninth inning. According to a, and this is a BBC story, so I'll need my BBC News presenter voice. U.S. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton has said her primary race against Bernie Sanders is effectively over. I will be the nominee for my party, she told CNN in an interview. That is already done, in effect. There is no way that I won't be. Really? No way. Man, I tell you what, I could not get away with throwing one of those up in the face of the goddess of irony. I could never get away with that. Mr. Sanders has come under pressure to bow out since Donald Trump became the presumptive Republican nominee. The Vermont senator has vowed to fight until the party convention. Mrs. Clinton holds a commanding lead in the delegate count. Democratic leaders are concerned about party unity after a clash between officials and Sanders supporters at a party convention in Nevada over the weekend. Sanders supporters yelled at party officials and picked up chairs. The state's party chairwoman later received death threats, none of which have been actually confirmed to have been made by any actual supporters of Bernie Sanders. No, I added that part because the BBC couldn't be bothered. Hillary Clinton's insistence that the race for the Democratic nomination is effectively over is supported by delegate maths, but it will do little to quell the growing acrimony between her supporters and those of Bernie Sanders. The Vermont senator continues to insist that he has a narrow path to the nomination and will fight for every last delegate. Mrs. Clinton has tried ignoring these claims. Now she's addressing them head on. Okay, check. Perhaps hoping it will allow her to shift focus onto Donald Trump. Over the coming weeks, she'll likely test out a variety of possible lines of attack against the Republican, including the charge that he is too risky to put in the Oval Office. Well, that certainly worked out well for Jeb, didn't it? And John Kasich, and Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio, and Huckabee, and Lindsey Graham, who is still licking his wounds on the fainting couch down there at the ancestral plantation in South Carolina known as Smoldering Chode. This critique echoes concerns I encountered numerous times on the campaign trail among those who supported Mr. Trump's Republican opponents. Mrs. Clinton may be hoping that a campaign crafted around national security could win over independents and moderate Republicans who are uneasy with Mr. Trump's brash style and foreign policy inexperience. It may be an effective strategy, but it's one made more difficult as long as Mr. Sanders continues to act as a thorn in Mrs. Clinton's left flank. Oh yeah, it's that's just a reboot of a hissy that the New York Times had. Oh, I actually got some wrath from some hilarians over it, because I would not say, as it was demanded that I do, that
Bernie is a terrible human being because he didn't condemn everybody in his campaign because of what happened in Nevada. Because I guess that's what the Hilarians are demanding. Isn't it interesting that the Hilarians are making demands? Ultimately, I was told that I was a white male privileged sexist racist asshole, and that Hillary, by God, didn't need my vote. That's what passes for reasoned discourse among the Hilarians. And the source of that? The source of that was my remark that Democratic votes in the South in November don't matter. Actually, I didn't say they don't matter. I said they're meaningless, to which the Hilarian responded, "Well, I guess to you Bernie supporters, black votes don't matter." Because according to her, the Democratic Party in the South is comprised entirely of people of color. Never mind the white folks, Asian folks, Latino folks, old folks, young folks, male folks, female folks, trans folk. No, sorry. It is now officially racist. And you know what? You're still there. You're still there, Carol. I understand why you got off Facebook and social media. Because they're just nasty, and you cannot carry on a reasoned discussion with them. I said that Democratic votes in the Confederacy are meaningless. Because they are. Until the politics change down there, they're going to stay that way. That's not like saying somebody doesn't deserve to vote or that the franchise should be withdrawn. It is not the same thing. But until Democrats can deliver their state, until Democrats can deliver a South Carolina stand or a Talabama or an Arkansas stand, then it's meaningless. Having 1.5 million vote lead in the Confederacy is meaningless. One of them lectured me and said, "Well, I live in a Confederate state. I live in Virginia. And we're going to be in play." Well, if that's the case, you're going to be in play because of Northern Virginia. You're not going to be in play because of Wise County, Virginia, or Carroll County, Virginia. You're going to be in play because there are a lot of civilized people who happen to live in Virginia because they work over in, you know, the Forbidden City, Washington, D.C. Yeah, as Carol notes, and they dare to call themselves progressives. Nothing progressive about them. Go along, get along, mugwump Democrats. Same, 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 same. Seven oh one p.m. Jim points out, "Okay, Hillary may say it's over. Hitler said the same about the USSR in October 1941. Oh well." And I guess. Well, okay. See there. Yes, that. Steve in New York says, "Frankly, New York votes are meaningless as it relates to Republicans. They're also meaningless. Republican votes are meaningless in Oregon, as we saw by tallying up the primary totals between Republicans voting in their primary versus Democrats voting in it. Republican votes are meaningless because they cannot muster the strength to control the." Damn it, Billable Rick. Gerald is working his magic. Yes. It's just reality. And for that, I got called a sexist. And told to check my white male privilege. Which I do a pretty good job of checking day in and day out. But the one that really pushed him over the top and led to a frenzy of blocking and unfriending was when I simply asked if it is sexist not to vote for the female candidate for president this year, was it sexist when you didn't vote for McCain and he had a woman as his running mate as vice president? Hypothetically, would it also be sexist if Carly Fiorina was the GOP nominee running against a male Democrat? Would that be sexist? And for that, I got called an asshole. And was told that my words were dripping with sarcasm, to which I felt compelled to respond, dripping? Dripping? Really? Dripping? Why, that sounds like a gendered smear of older men with prostate problems. Damn it! The thin-skinned hilarians don't like it when you do that. Again, Billable Rick, 7.01 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. But it's all very frustrating. It's very nasty. And I think after the California primary, I'm going to try not to talk so much about presidential politics, because I perceive this country to be going. Scares the hell out of me, and you know, maybe we can have a little bit of a giggle somewhere along the way. The condemned ate heartily, you know. The band played as the Titanic slid beneath the icy waves. And there are other things, other problems out there. I was briefly happy earlier this year. Okay, let me go back to this. Steve in New York asks, was it racist when Hillary's Puma voters, party unity my ass, didn't vote for Obama in 2008? Because there were a bunch who didn't. And the answer, of course, is no, because if you're a thin-skinned hilarian, you're incapable of, you know, racism. Even if, say, the candidate, Mrs. Clinton's husband, said, that Obama, how about that? A few years ago, he would have been carrying our bags. Which he really said. Right. But there's other stuff afoot out there. Like I said, here in West Virginia, I was pleased that we here in West Virginia managed to not have a hate bill pass the legislature. Well, wait, before I go there, let's go over to the stress line and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Oh, wow. That worked.
It does work.
Wow.
If you're driving, Bluetooth doesn't work very well, and speakerphones don't much either because they cut in and out because of the limiters. You there? Oh, Tracy.
Okay, are you there?
I am.
Okay, good. I figured out what to do. When I'm in the car listening to you and I have to call in on the stress line, I have to plug the phone in the auxiliary button and talk to you through my car speaker.
Aha. Well, you sound considerably better.
Yay! There we go. We have our moment.
I thought you were going to say that you'd figured out that what you have to do when you were going to call when you were listening to the program in your car, and I began to make you want to throw things, that you needed to just pull over to the side of the road and maybe go get ice cream.
Yeah, that too, or Thai food.
Thai food would work.
Thai food would work because I'm actually on my way to a board meeting, and I left early because I didn't know what traffic was going to be like, and I figured I can hang out with you guys, because you call me. I've been listening for the past couple of days, and I know you have been going through hell with money issues and stuff like that. I didn't even realize, as a matter of fact, how bad it was. I thought Monday was just one of those days where you had a doctor's appointment or what have you. I had no idea until yesterday when I was an extra pay. Because, see, here's the thing about me and Facebook. I could be a really narcissistic asshole, and so I don't pay attention to anybody else's page. I don't get your feed, apparently. Because had I gotten your feed, I would have realized that the reason why you weren't on the air on Monday was because, you know, money. And that bothers me. It troubles me. And it troubles me even more so when you're having issues with, you know, the phone line and, you know, the Skype line. Why? Because, you know, money.
The Skype line is not entirely money at this point. The little interface is not that expensive, I hope. It won't be more than a couple of $100.
Okay.
But it's just, it's also technical deviltry. So there's that too.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really good for my blood pressure.
It's Satan. It's demonic.
Yes.
It's like the gremlin on the wing of the airplane in Twilight Zone.
Oh, you just turned me into William Shatner. I don't appreciate that.
Okay, what about the gremlin on the plane with Bugs Bunny?
Much better.
Okay.
Hey, look, I'm dancing. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I turned you into William Shatner. My bad. And I do apologize.
Well, I mean, if you you keep that stuff up, you're going to make me sing Rocket Man.
So I saw something frightening today.
Yes.
That my blood actually ran cold. I was driving this morning and I see this really big, huge red fire engine, red truck, you know, a step away from probably having a gun rack in the back with the big ass tires and all that, with a Trump bumper sticker saying, you know, make America great again. And I you know, because it's actually the first Trump bumper sticker that I've seen.
Let me just ask, as a portmanteau, does that qualify as a Trumper sticker?
Oh! Ha ha! Ah! That was awesome. That was awesome. Trumper sticker.
I'll be here all week. Don't try the veal.
Don't try the veal. Be sure you tip your waitress. But it also just now got me to thinking that I saw my first Trump bumper sticker. But I swear to Jesus, now y'all know how much time I'm on the road, okay? Sometimes 12 hours a day, you know, 5-6 days a week, you know. So I'm on the road probably more than the average motherfucker. I have seen Bernie bumper stickers left and right. I have one on my car. Unfortunately, I can't put it on the taxi. I wish I could. But I have yet, I swear to goodness, I have yet to see one Hillary bumper sticker.
I have come to think of it, I don't know. Maybe there's lots of them in South Carolina or Alabama or Mississippi or something, but I haven't seen any either here in Almost Level. Of course, here in Almost Level, West by Cole, Virginia, Stan, Tracy, you got to understand, anybody who put a Hillary sticker on their car might as well put a sticker on their car that said, key me and slash my tires.
Right. Because I remember, you know, years back I told you about the lady that I picked up from the airport who had to move to Arizona because her mom was sick. And she had the audacity to put an Obama bumper sticker on her car. And it was, you know, they key did and broke out her windows out and flattened her tires.
Well, and here in almost level West by Cole, Virginia, stand back in 2008. My beautiful young son got the living shit beaten out of him on the bus and called a nigger lover because we had an Obama sign in our yard.
Holy shit. Seriously?
Yes.
That, see? And people wonder why I'm not leaving. You know, I got to tell, I was talking to my sister-in-law. And, you know, before there was Jan and before I became politically aware, at one point I had my brother... Because things weren't going well for me out here. You know, I was horribly, you know, totally fighting depression. It was just, you know, not working, just horrible. And my brother, both my brother and my sister were trying to get me to move to Atlanta. And I almost did. I almost said, fuck L.A., I'm out. I just can't handle this place anymore. You know, I was going to probably kind of be an indentured servant to them because at the time they had... My nieces were younger, and basically I would be the babysitter, but the way their houses are, you know, I wouldn't mind just chilling because they had amazing houses. Oh, they still do. But I didn't. I was so depressed I couldn't even get up the energy to even think about leaving California. So, but then, you know, my life kind of turned around. Well, first my life kind of turned around, and then I became politically aware. You know, in 2007, 2008, instead of, you know, paying attention to different states and their policies, I'm like, oh, no. And then, you know, I met my wife in 2012. Well, I didn't mean to take that back. I became aware of my authentic self in 2012.
Yeah.
So, thank God. You know, I didn't make that because I couldn't have been, I could not be a black woman in the South and be my own self. Not because I couldn't be, but I would be terrified to be, considering that, you know, I'm black and I'm a woman. So it's like, you already got that going against you down there. So why add to, you know,
well, I mean, and not to, you know, not that this is a competition, but more as comparison and kindred spirit. At the time in 2008, my 12-year-old son could not be his authentic little white boy self either.
Exactly. You know, just because chose to support the black guy, then you know you're a nigger lover. It's like. Okay, if you're gonna love somebody, might as well love a nigga. What's the problem? Chomping up. Okay, I'm sorry, backpack. But the thing is, I would never want to live somewhere where I cannot be my authentic self. I will never want to live somewhere where if I spoke up and saw something horrible happening, or just, I don't know, just spoke my mind and just being me. Because we all, it's not like, you know, I keep, you know, I'm you know, I'm an introvert, Bob. I know you realize that. And it's hard.
Shrinking violet is what comes to mind for me, Tracy.
Wallflower. You know, if I press myself up against the wall even any harder, I would be the wallpaper. How, you know, so these things, so it's like, you know, it's hard for me. It's hard. So, you know...
I'm over here suffering with you, yes.
So, you know, I try not to, you know, cause and bring too much attention to myself because, you know, I just don't like that. I don't like being the center of attention at all. I can't stand it. It's just painful and horrible for me. So, I can't be me. It's like I told, you know, I think I know I've told the story, you know, more than one time when I was driving from, you know, Texas to back to California and my mom and I stopped in Oklahoma City.
Sweet Jesus. And
I know. And we stopped to get gasoline at the Shell station. And, you know, like I said, a polite society. Oh, yeah, Jaguar, you're an asshole. You know, polite society, when somebody is walking out of the elevator or, you know, a store or what have you, you let the person who's walking out walk out, and then you walk in. You know, that's just how impolite society. And like I said, the 4x, you know, the big old 4x4 tire, you know, the big one down there, you got to throw down a rope to get into the car, and the, you know, the people with the fear-stained white, you know, white beaters got off the car, and I'm walking out, and they're walking in, and they're looking at me like, nigga, bitch, what you doing? Step aside so the, you know, the crackers can walk in.
Step off.
And me being me, I'm looking at them, I'm about to buck wild on their asses. And then I remembered where I was. And also my mom, who had been at that point living down south for about 7 years or so, knew what could have happened. And so because she was pumping the gas, and she's looking at me like, bring your ass, let's go. So I acquiesced, and I let the white people walk past me. I can't live in a state like that, Bob.
No, and yet millions of people of color do.
Right, and I don't know how they.
They form insular communities. They, Jesus God, that feels icky. But the only, as I understand it, having carried on a few conversations on the topic, the only way you do that is build community.
Yes.
Because if you try to live as you know, some sort of independent free actor, you're toast.
You can't. See, in California, I can do that. Because, see, here, when I was growing up, you know, L.A. pre-1970s and stuff like that, we had strong black communities in L.A. We had Compton. We had Watts. We had, you know, pockets of Los Angeles that, you know, where we had our own stores and, and then we had, you know, the uprising and the end of segregation, where you could go and move anywhere you wanted to move. And, you know, and then it went away. And now those communities that I grew up in are no longer. There's still black people in South Central and stuff like that, but not like it was when I was growing up. All those communities are now largely Hispanic. And you know what? I envy any culture that comes here and they still hold their culture and who they are intact. And they build community. As black folks in this country, we were taught not to build community. Because as soon as we could go where the white folks live, we ran. My family is a perfect example. We lived in South Central. We lived in a wonderful neighborhood. You know.
And meanwhile, just to put a little perspective into all of this, I'm checking in the chat room, Tracy, and I see where Sparky, having folded space to become Man Cave, said, "I saw a Ford Explorer with KSFO Savage in yellow lettering on the back window, and Trump on the side windows last week here in town at the Dollar General."
See?
Of course, Sparky lives up in the state of Jefferson.
Yeah, well, he lives in redneck. Isn't it Redding? It should really be redneck.
I'm not gonna get into that fight. You can duke that out with Sparky.
I just apologize. And I hope he's
that's okay. Sparky still loves you.
That's because I love him, but he knows.
Oh yeah, the only reason I know about the state of Jefferson is because of Sparky and Roger and you know, in Humboldt and that dynamic, yeah.
What? when I drove, like that, when I first started driving, you know, my young man, and I had to drive the Poway. And I actually had this old toothless white woman ask me straight up, what are you doing here? And I'm like, you know, I'm moving in. I'm actually, you know, surveying for me and my lesbian Jewish wife. So we, because this seems like a really nice area, and we're going to open a group home for ethnically diverse LGBT youth.
Beautiful. That's,
you know,
beautiful. Yeah.
These are the, you know, and see, but I can say that in California and get away with it to a certain degree. I mean, you know, I do have, I mean, like I said, I have to pick my battles and know. And like I said, I've never ever felt not safe about voicing my opinion. But that time in Oklahoma, Bob, for that split second, I feared for my life.
Oh, hell yeah.
I've never feared. I drive a freaking cab in Los Angeles, and I have never feared for my life like I feared that at that moment. Because you put it in even more context, that was not long after that white man beat the hell out of that sister at the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And see, here's the thing. Again, remember, I'm living in California, and you hear about that kind of stuff, you know, because you get it over, you know, Radio Rwanda, as you call it, and, you know, the also for-profit media. So we get a smattering of stuff here. But and I didn't even realize, as a matter of fact, I don't even think I heard about it, but my sister-in-law is the one that really talked about it, and I have visited him. Well, this was before, like I said. So it's like, you think of these things, and you're going, holy shit, there are still people out there who think that, you know, we sit around, you know, we, the black folks and the white folks in this country are sitting around a fucking campfire singing "Kum fucking bye ya" and holding hands like everything is okay. Because you know we're living in a post-racial America, right, Bob? There,
definitely post-racial, definitely.
You know, where you have people like that. You know, I was really sad, you know, on Monday about that there was no show, because the only thing that was on my, what was burning in my gut over the weekend was that asshole George Zimmerman.
Yeah, he did. He managed to sell his gun to a John Doe buyer.
Uh huh.
Did you happen to see the sale price? Because if you didn't, maybe I'd better not say anything until you're parked.
No, I'm parked. I'm good. I'm parked. Go ahead.
If I read it correct, $168K.
You said $58,000.
$168,000.
Yeah,
that's what we call dead air.
Mm-hmm. See, but, you know, did you hear or see Larry Wilmore's rant about that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And Larry Wilmore tore good shooting Zim a nice, fresh, brand-new asshole.
A nice one. The skit that they did after the rant, when they had Idi Amin and Hitler, and Satan saying, "You don't want, no, we can't have George here. There's people who won't bunk with him." that was just awesome sauce. You know, even when Hitler and Idi Amin don't want to hang out with you, because they even, you make their stomach turn.
Yeah, right. It's like the the line about why will maggots not live in a teabagger? Even maggots have standards.
Right, exactly.
And by the way, you used a word there, a phrase a minute ago, awesome sauce. And yeah. I don't know where that comes from, but I've noticed it. I've noticed it in the in the popular argo, if you will. There's another one. There's another one out there that Perez Hilton is trying to get going.
Oh no!
And I just hope it doesn't catch on. It's just so annoying. Amazeballs.
Yeah. No. See, I'll never say amazeballs because I don't know anybody's balls that are amazing.
Do you remember the movie Mean Girls, Tracy?
Say that one more time.
You remember the movie Mean Girls?
Yes.
You remember how the one mean girl in the clique is trying to get that's so fetch. And
right.
and her mean girl, the leader of the mean girls turns to her and says, stop saying fetch. You're never going to make it catch on. Nobody likes it.
Right. I like awesome.
Total digression there, apropos of nothing, but, yeah.
I don't know, but it's one of those things. It's like, I don't even know why I say awesome sauce, but
Well, it's like that night that we had, And I've seen it. It's a thing. Subsequently, I've seen it to nope out of something.
Right. Seriously. No, it's those things. It's like when it's a word. One of those things where you know it's not so just. It's just not just awesome. But, you know, it's just so awesome that you have to make a sauce. I don't know. I don't question these things. It's the fact that I'm a grown-ass woman and I even say awesome sauce can be troubling, you know. Oh, I used to say, what else did I used to say? Cool beans.
Oh, yeah, that one still gets some work around here.
You know, and I don't know. It's those things that you say you don't even realize you're saying them. It's like that song jingle, you know, that commercial jingle that gets stuck in your head and it won't go away. And I can't even remember, you know, my first grade teacher's name or my first phone number, but I can remember a jingle. Shit, I can't remember what I did yesterday. I can remember a fucking jingle that I heard when I was like 5 years old. And it's like, really? Of all the things.
Oh, no, I'm the same way. I am the same way. Here's a good example. I can still remember the first time I was warned about strangers.
Stranger danger?
No. This was like some sort of organized campaign, you know, a little bit. It was Patch the Pony, and Patch the Pony says, "Nay, nay, stay away."
Oh no! See, here's the thing: I'm more afraid of the. I don't worry so much about strangers anymore. Other than the fool that has the AK-47 that's going to take me out, and I know him.
Yeah, well, I mean, and the story that I was about to mention when you rang in, and we've kind of segued over toward that, is that lo and behold, we have in our House of Delegates here, in almost level West by Cold Virginia Stan, a cat by the name of Justin Markham.
Not Timberlake or Bieber?
No, Justin Markham. And he's a member of the House of Delegates from Mingo County, down there where Hillary went and visited and got met in protest by a bunch of Trumpers and and their buddy Don Blankenship on his way to prison. And Justin Markham posted over the weekend, because, see, our teabagger legislature here, Tracy, during their regular session that we pay for every year, during which the only thing they absolutely have to do is pass a damn budget, couldn't pass a damn budget. And so they were, as of this past Monday, they were called back into special session by the governor.
Which you have to pay for.
Which we get to pay extra for, to the tune of something like $70,000.
Oh, that's all?
Well, we're a small, poor state. In the time that they've been in special session so far and still haven't passed a budget, 12 kids have lost out on promised scholarships to college. Because we all know that Republicans are in favor of fiscal responsibility.
Right.
So anyway, this past Saturday, Delegate Justin J. Markham said, "As we go back into special session on Monday, I urge Governor Tomlin to amend his call to allow us as a state to address the bathroom issue caused by our horrible president. Obama killed coal and now has me really concerned for our children. A man is a man. A woman is a woman. Period." I guess that you couldn't say a woman is a woman. A man is a man. Period, because men don't have periods.
Right. I saw you where you were going with that.
Yeah. So guess what? Delegate Justin J. Markham is a Democrat.
Of course he is.
But that's the most, that is the most novel, I got style points, I guess. I'll give him those. Because I have yet to hear in the great potty debate of 2016, we need a potty bill because Obama killed coal. But
right.
Now we have.
It's because of coal.
Yeah, because we don't. They tried to pass a heterosexual Christian wedding cake baker bill, but once they passed an amendment that took all the and they swore all along this wasn't nothing about no discrimination. But as soon as they passed an amendment that said there shall be no discrimination, the Republicans went, "Well, shit," and withdrew the bill.
Right. Because it's like, you know, what was that up in Oregon? Was it with the people, you know, "I'm not going to make a wedding cake because they're lesbians, because it's against my moral Christianity, blah, blah, blah. But so you'll make a Halloween cake, you'll make a happy divorce cake, you'll make cake, you know, you cannot."
Yeah, but you know, while we're talking about the, you know, because all the little evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered followers of Jesus got up on their own personal crosses with the sign above that says IRNI. Never going to forget that. Lordy, they're being the Christians is being persecuted in Oregon. But they never bothered to read the Oregon Human Rights Commission's ruling in the matter, which was that there really wouldn't have been much to do about this, and there wouldn't have been a fine to be imposed, except for the fact that the Christians, subsequent to the filing of the complaint, went and tried to smear the complainants and get them, tried to get them fired from their jobs, tried to get their children taken away from them, and that's what got the Christians fined.
Right. Because here's my thing. And this is one of those reasons, you know, that it's, you know, going to be very difficult for me to visit the South for a while. You got issues about, you know, my gender or who, you know, my color or now where I want to go to the bathroom or what have you. But you want to take my money. And I can't do it. So, like, these bakeries that I'm not going to make a cake, or the wedding planners, I'm not going to plan your wedding. And these venues, I'm not. You can't have your wedding there. Why the fuck would you want to? That's my issue, Bob. It's like, I mean, yes, there's that point where you want to speak up and stuff like that, but let's think about this shit. Why would you want to patronize a place where they don't want you? Why would you want, I don't care.
Well, I understand that, but you know, in some like little pissant towns in Tallahassee, the Christian, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual baker is the only game in town.
Yeah, I understand that.
And the only place you can get your wedding reception catered is the shitty little pizza joint run by God-fearing,
right,
upstanding,
okay,
Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexuals.
Well, you know, those places I understand. I understand those places completely. Because, like you said, when they are the only game in town, you have no choice. But when you are, again, I'm going to say something. Don't get it twisted. If I'm going to say something about it, you know, I'm going to make sure that the world knows that you're assholes and bigots and racist or whatever the hell you are. But I don't want. I'm not going to care whether or not you won't serve me. But you're going to people. It's like when I went to this restaurant and my mom and I were totally and completely ignored. And I went on a Yelp rant about it. And like I said, I am loath to even say that this is, you're doing this because I'm black. Or, you know, I usually say it's just sucky ass service. But when it's obvious, when my mom and I were the only black party in the entire restaurant, and you're flitting around everybody else, but you're not, you know, you're giving people, you know, champagne for free, you know, mimosas, and you don't even look at our table and all that.
Bingo. So, hey, by the way, you got a note coming from Ron in Raleigh, North Carolina, Stan, in regard to your question about, you know, people of color in the South. Ron says, subject line, to Tracy, the reason black people dispersed into the population was that it was the promise of becoming a full-fledged citizen of the U.S. We weren't allowed to live where we wanted. The new immigrants live in close proximity to one another, and that's because they still speak their native language, whether it be Spanish, Chinese, any Southeast Asian language, Arabic, whatever. Guess what native-born black folk didn't have? That's right. No cohesive language. P.S. P.S. I'm old enough to remember when, as a young black man, I didn't have to have any contact with white folks. Not because it was my choice. Not because it was my choice. Ron notes.
Yeah. And it's like with my wife. You know, people forget how backwards California can be. And tell me, she pretty much lived her whole existence without really having to deal with black people. You know,
yeah.
I grew up until we moved to West L.A., Bob. I had no dealings with white people. Absolutely not. You know, my whole world was black and black and black people. So when you, again, you know, when you, like Ron was pointing out, no, you know, there's a certain thing about cohesiveness. And up until desegregation, the cohesiveness for the black community was just being black and knowing that we had to make our own way. Even at the, my personal favorite is when we had strong black communities in the South, you know, Rosewood, and Black Wall Street of Oklahoma.
The operative verb tense being had.
Yeah, you see, had. You don't want us. You don't want us in your community. You give us, you know, substandard service because, like you said, when you're the only game in town, and so you can do and say anything you want to. But then when we have the audacity, the nerve, to build our own communities and have our own stores and our own undertakers and our own tradesmen and craftsmen, then we're being uppity niggas, and you got to take us out.
Well, and even here now, just by way of history, Tracy, you know, during the political season here in Appalachia, all the for-profit media were saying, well, you know, Appalachia is overwhelmingly white, and that's why they'll probably support Trump and Bernie Sanders. It was not always that way. There have been in Appalachia vibrant, in coal country I'm talking about, vibrant communities of color. Even in the little bitty town I lived in, there was a black section of town. Segregated as hell, but vibrant. You know, Dr. Carter Woodson, the father of Black History Month. He mined
Black History Week.
Month. Well,
no, when he admitted that it was a week.
But it got expanded, right? But he mined coal right here in this county where I live. Until he decided he was gonna, there had to be a better life for him than that, and began trying to and began trying to get edumacated.
How dare he?
But see, here's the thing. You know, they burned down Rosewood and Tulsa. White folks did.
Mm-hmm.
In Appalachia, it was a little more subtle. The United Mine Workers Union. The United Mine Workers of America was founded as one of the nation's first integrated trade unions. Because, you know, everybody turns black down in the mine.
Yeah, you can't tell shit down there because it's black as hell anyway. Then you get the soot.
The coal dust, exactly. So, long about the late 1940s and early 1950s, as mechanization began to take hold in the mines, and people stopped having to dig it out with picks and shovels and load it into carts that were drawn by mules to the surface. It came time for the United Mine Workers of America to negotiate their contract with the Bituminous Coal Operators Association of America.
Here we go.
And in the course of those negotiations, the Bituminous Coal Operators looked at John L. Lewis and said, all right, I think we can come to an agreement. I think that we can protect your jobs against mechanization
if,
as long as you get rid of all of those ones.
Those people.
And John L. Lewis said, sure enough. And so the one of the first integrated unions in America quickly got disintegrated.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's just that example. I saw somebody on my Facebook feed this amazing monologue, George Carlin, you know, some 40 some odd years ago, probably, about how people in power keep the people like us at each other's throats when we should be, you know, kicking in their doors and dragging them out by the scruffs of their neck. And, you know, I don't know, but no, I'm inciting violence. But you know what I'm saying. We should not be going after each other. I'm so tired of, what was it, the war on class war. What was the one a few years back where, you know, we were being mean to the rich people? What did they term that as, a war on?
Oh, well, daggum, where'd that go? Not class envy.
Something. But we all.
Somebody will put that. Somebody will put this in. Somebody will put that in the chat room in a minute.
Chat room. But it has been. This shit has been going on since the beginning of motherfucking time in this country, in every country. You know, after you know, it's just the stupidity. I don't even think it's the stupidity. Well. A lot of it is just plain old stupidity. But it's those things that you're thinking, it's like, really? You do not realize that you're being bamboozled? You do not realize you people down south who are voting, who continually vote Republican? Because why? You rather die of hunger and, you know, without a way to take care of your children, not make it a decent living or anything like that, no access to health care, just because you're racist. And you won't say you're racist. Oh, no, I'm not racist. I'm just a fiscal conservative. Well, bitch, how are you going to be a fiscal conservative if you ain't got nothing to be fiscal, if you ain't fiscally sound?
Well, yeah.
For this, that. If you don't have, what was it about Martin Luther King? What was the thing when he started, you know, realizing that the white folks are just going to be they just don't give a fuck? And he's like, okay, so it's not really, it is about race, but the underlying issue is about power and class and money.
Class warfare.
Class warfare, there it is. It's about money. And the people who have it don't want to give up the power and their money. So we've got to come up with these things to keep y'all at each other's throats. But the thing is, what he was thinking about was like, wait, yes, I like the idea of sitting at the counter, but what is the fucking point of me sitting at the counter if I don't have a job to pay for the lunch?
Right. There's not a lot of point of being able to sit at the counter if all you can do is order a bowl of hot water and put some ketchup in it.
Thank you.
Don't think I don't know about ketchup soup.
Or making lemonade out of the free lemons and some water and some sugar. Don't think I don't know about that.
I opted for the Equal or the Splenda, not because of weight or diabetes issues, but because
it melts.
It dissolves in the cold water better than the sugar does.
Exactly. So again, you know, why are you so worried about sitting at the counter when you can't even buy it? Okay, so you sit at the counter. That's well and dandy and fucking amazing, but do you have a dollar to buy the burger? Because back then you could buy it for a dollar. You could get a full on meal back then. And it's those things where you like, you just want people to pull their weight. Not pull their weight. I hate the word, but pay their fair share, because we're pulling the weight. And God damn it, I'm exhausted. If I pull any more weight, I'm going to throw my fucking back out. I'm going to be in traction. So, can we not have to pull the weight? Oh, so you were talking about earlier about the Hilarians and how they get their, you know, they get their panties all in the bunch.
I did not say that. I've already been called a sexist enough. I said nothing about panties or bunches.
You said it. No, listen, I didn't say. Bob Kincaid, let me put this out for people who are listening to the podcast later on. Bob Kincaid did not say that the Hilarians get their patties in the butch. Tracy Michelle Porter, better known as Lady Cab Driver, I said the shit, right? And if you want to come at me, look me up on Facebook, motherfucker. Okay, so, I dare you. So here's my issue. I got into a very heated debate yesterday. I love these people who are, you know, quote-unquote Bernie Sanders supporters, but are calling for him to get out the race because we're being divisive.
Well, I mean, you know, we wouldn't want California to be California voters to actually be able to express their preference now, would they?
Right, and I'm like, I said, why? I totally forgot about this 08, how she said she was staying in the race until California. I wish I had to remember that, Bob, because that's what I would have said to him. I'm like, So, Hillary could stay in the race until California, but Bernie can't?
Well, but it's not just that, Tracy. Remember, she said, I have to stay in until California so every vote gets counted because anything could happen, like Bobby Kennedy. Remember?
Right. She's
fairly begging some racist nut job to take a shot at Barack Obama.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, can we not say... I mean, look, she had that horrible fall and a head injury that her husband said took 6 months to recover from. Anything could happen.
Anything.
Bernie needs to stay in. Anything could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Not wishing ill upon the woman? Just as when she finally got called on her Bobby Kennedy comment that she made 3 times during the campaign at least.
Oh.
She said, "Well, you know that isn't what I that isn't what I mean. I misspoke."
It's like at those are those points, like when you were talking about the other day about Henry fucking Kissinger. That rant was amazing, by the way. I have to say.
Well, thank you.
But it's like one of those things, like you know, what was the NCIS that you know Mark Harmon hit no boy, you know, that was the slap to get the back of the head, like, what were you thinking? Oh, I know you weren't.
Yep, bingo.
Or you are so ensconced and privileged that you say things that, well, you know, I'm white and I'm a woman and I'm privileged, so I can say these things because I can. And those are those things that I have to jump in Jan's ass about. I love my wife, but she said some shit, and I'm like, and I have said, bitch, please. Because, you know what they do, Bob, when you call people, especially people of privilege, on the stupid shit that they say that is just so incredibly inappropriate that it's cringeworthy, and you just almost can't breathe. It's like, what? You can't even form words because you're going, really? That's the only thing you can eke out is just really or seriously? Kind of like that rant, you know. And the first thing they say is, well, I have the right to say what it's my opinion.
You have the right to your own opinion. You do not have the right to your own facts.
What is? Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you have the right to say whatever the fuck. Yes, you have the absolute right to say whatever the fuck you want to say. How for never? Don't retreat to, it's my opinion, it's my right when somebody calls you on it, and then you get mad. Because, see, yes, you have the right to say whatever the hell you want to say, but you also have to realize there are consequences and repercussions and all these things that can happen after you say what you say. Unless you're Donald Trump.
Who was right? You know, he could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and not lose a vote. And again, I don't like saying this. But, you know, I remember 2000. I remember, I remember hanging chads. And I remember states decided on razor thin margins.
Yeah.
And I remember my own state of West Virginia, which if it had voted for the Democratic nominee, Florida wouldn't even have mattered. But instead, we sent our 5 crappy little electoral votes to dim leader. You know, this stuff does, and you know that's. That's why this stuff matters, because I can't participate in another round of there's no difference between them.
No.
Hillary Clinton is not and never will be my favorite person unless, like, some sort of miracle happens during her presidency and she pulls off a rubber mask and she's really and she's really Dennis Kucinich.
Right.
But that ain't likely to happen. But by the same token, like I said, without getting into the whole Nader thing, I remember Ralph Nader saying in the 2000 election cycle that there was no difference at all between Al Gore and Dim Leader. And God Almighty, didn't we learn that to our didn't we learn the falsity of that to our unending horror, grief, and shame?
Ask the frickin' loser. I tell people all day long, I took to my bed in it was bad in 2000, but in 2004, Bob, I laid on the couch. I kid you not, I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. Because when they reelected Dim Leader, I'm going, were we not in the same country? Did you not see? Did you? And by then we found out that it was weapons of mass deception and all this other stuff. And yet and still.
And you know, I mean, and again, I remind everyone that T-Rump put out a list of white folks that he promises he would nominate to fill any Supreme Court vacancy.
Yes.
Including one of the most notorious anti-LGBT bigots to sit on any judicial seat in the country.
Isn't he the one that you were talking about yesterday?
That one. Pryor. Yeah, Pryor.
Scalia looked like, you know, Thurgood Marshall.
Yeah, there we go. That's good.
Yeah, I have my moments.
That's precious.
That was a good one. Y'all need to hold on to that, because they might. We don't know. There could be few and far between. But if they like the discussion, you know, like I said, now remember my friend who is the alleged Bernie Sanders supporter, but is screaming that Bernie needs to get out and let's mend fences so we can beat Donald Trump. Because didn't you say that the longer that, you know, Bernie stays in, it's just like, you know, we're campaigning for Trump.
Oh my God! It's almost shocking the degree to which, say, for instance, okay, how's this for a headline from the In the Bag for Hillary New York Times? You ready for this?
Like I said, I'm parked, so I'm good.
Bernie Sanders eyeing convention, willing to harm Hillary Clinton in the home stretch.
If she was a strong enough candidate, it wouldn't matter if Bernie, what anybody said about her, about Bernie, or if she could stand on her own merit, if she was a better campaigner, or fuck, just a nicer person, it wouldn't matter what Bernie Sanders said or did.
Yeah. Meanwhile, a few paragraphs down, while Mr. Sanders says he does not want Mr. Trump to win in November, his advisors and allies say he is willing to do some harm to Mrs. Clinton in the shorter term if it means he can capture a majority of the 475 pledged delegates at stake in California and arrive at the Philadelphia Convention with the maximum political power.
Okay, again, if Hillary was on her game, wouldn't have to worry about this. Bernie could do, you know, again. You need to start, you know, what is that song? I'm looking at the man, or in her case, the woman in the mirror. Look at what you're doing. Look at yourself, sweetie. Do some introspection. Is that the word I'm looking for? What is wrong with you? Because what is it? It's not when you break up with somebody. No. It wasn't you. It was me. Well, in this case, it's you. It is her. What is wrong? Who has?
Well, I mean, when are they? Okay, I'm just going to ask this. When are they going to take the training wheels off of her campaign?
Exactly.
Ah, why? Jesus, that was so sexist.
You know, why is it?
You know, even if it's not.
Okay. Why is it that Bernie Sanders can draw tens of thousands to his rally? People standing outside, was it Scott that said that he was outside for how many hours before the rally even started, and he was still on the overflow part of the rally down in San Diego?
Yeah.
We don't have those issues.
Well,
you know, she got 99 problems.
Bernie ain't one.
Bernie is not her problem. And it's those things, what is it, transference? That's the word. You know, I'm pulling out my psych major word. That's some serious transference. It's like...
Well, what they're doing right now... Here's my best guess. I think when they sneak a little peep-eye outside their little bubble, I think the Hilarians down in their heart of hearts know how badly many millions of Americans despise, for reasons that are entirely bullshit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton. And they know what her disapproval rating is.
They know.
And it turns their innards to water, Tracy. And they already feel a sort of preemptive humiliation wash over them at the idea of the most capable person ever to run for president having her ass handed to her by what Charlie Pierce calls a vulgar talking yam.
Talking yam, that's awesome.
I think if you get them alone and you get them liquored up enough, I've seen some evidence of this, they'll go, oh yeah, she's a terrible campaigner. She's got enough money to burn a sopping wet herd of elephants with sopping wet wads of $100 bills. Where are her 15,000 supporter standing room only, people still in the parking lot rallies? Where are they?
And that is my point. That was the big argument between me and my boy. I'm like, look now. You supposed a Bernie Sanders supporter, you pussy. Where are her people?
And if she's the nominee after the convention, are we going to see him then? Do you know why they only rent high school gymnasiums for her?
Because she can't even fill a high school gymnasium. To make the crowds look bigger.
Can you imagine what it would be like if she was to, say, rent out Yankee Stadium?
Okay.
And it was so empty that you could still hear Lou Gehrig say, luckiest man in the world.
Wasn't one of Trump's, one of his rallies, who was it in the early day stages of the Republican clown show? Was it Cruz or was it Team Rump that had a stadium that threw a party and nobody came? That basically the people that were there.
T-Rump did that. Yeah, he talks about his crowds, and then the journalists don't dare turn their cameras around and show the empty seats for fear of having the shit beaten out of them.
Exactly. So, you know, and then he got pissy with me. It was the most awesome thing ever because, you know, we got into, oh,
that's another thing about the California primary. I know we keep talking about this, but May 23rd is the drop-dead date. Now, if you are, you know, not a Democrat, but, you know, like, you know, me, no party, and I was one of those idiots that you were talking about that hit, because I was, you know, I moved, so I changed my my address to make sure, you know, I got my ballot because I'm a permanent vote by mail person. And so, of course, I'm like, holy shit, no, I did not do American. Yes, George Wallace's party. I was tired, moving, leave me alone. Because, see, it was very confusing about the ballots, about, you know, if you don't have a party affiliation, then you're not going to do this and this and that. And so I just put it in. And so I found out, yes, of course, I can't, you know, I won't be able to get a crossover ballot because it wasn't very clear. So I figured out, and because I've called, you know, LA, you know, the Los Angeles County Registrar. I've gone on the, you know, the California Secretary of State website. So here is the thing. If you are, you know, no party affiliation in California, you can do one of two things. If you're voting by mail, you have to go online and request a crossover ballot, and you will receive one in the mail. If you plan on voting in, you know, in person and you haven't changed your party affiliation or what have you, when you go to the polls, you can ask the poll worker for a crossover ballot, okay? And also, if you are concerned with your mail-in vote not getting to the ballot, I mean, being counted, because, you know, shenanigans and what is that, skullduggery?
Skullduggery, yes.
And shenanigans and hijinks and tomfoolery, you can take your ballot to any poll place and put it in the ballot box. If you are unable to do so, you can sign on your ballot to have a representative take your ballot to any polling place. Just to let you know.
Well, that's hopeful.
Right. You know, just in case. So I did go on and I did register as. Oh, because the thing is, if you request a crossover ballot, then you don't have to worry about changing your party affiliation. I just went ahead and just changed my party affiliation to Democrat. And so then I'm going to segue into my Hilarion friend who got, you know, he got all, and, you know, you should not be able to vote in the primary if you're not a registered Democrat. I said, why, you know, and blah, blah, blah. Because he thought I was a registered Democrat, right? To see that white privilege thing,
yeah, what,
yeah. That the black, I'm a Democrat.
Oh, I know all about that white male privilege thing because, you know, I haven't checked mine.
You know, because, you know, you are, you know, white and male and privileged, right?
Oh, well, and so, you know, and a sexist and a racist and an asshole.
And a sexist and a racist. Come on, and an asshole. And so I said, but I have no party affiliation. So you're telling me this because I don't agree with the Democratic Party on 90% of the shit that we're doing as the Democratic Party. So I shouldn't have the right to vote in a primary because I finally have somebody that I want to, because he's one of those, well, Bernie's not even a Democrat, blah, blah, blah. And he's not, I said, this coming from somebody that you claim to be a Bernie supporter and you're getting all pissy because he's not a Democrat. He's taking votes. I'm like, you can't take something away from Hillary if she hasn't earned it.
Yeah, it's amazing how that's hard to.
But it's her turn.
It's her turn, Tracy.
Bitch, again. You know, I'm going to get a T-shirt that's going to say "Bitch, please." I really am, because again. I am so tired of these people, but it's her. Why is it her turn? What happened? Again, I'm going to invoke this, you know, my favorite person in the world, Miss Janet Jackson. My God, you're pregnant at 50. Let's not even go there. Oh, wait, she's not 50 yet. I think her birthday's on the 23rd. Baby Hugh, mother bitch, what have you done for me lately? What have you done to earn my vote?
it's like what they said, respect isn't given, it's earned. You have not...
Well, you can say what you want. You may not be for her, but she's for you.
No, she isn't, because, you know, she needs to bring me to heal, bitch. I got something that she needs to heal. She can heal on my ass. I said, if nothing for any other reason alone, why have... See, this is what pisses me off. You know, we talk about how nobody calls Donald Trump to the carpet about the bullshit that, because what we know won't matter. But, again, like you said, when you call her to the carpet, and according to that crazy woman yesterday, it would be a munching over the carpet.
Yeah, you had to go there, didn't you? In the tent in Beijing, with the how to be a lesbian seminar.
Yeah.
Did you have to? We've got people from the entire panoply of the human sexuality spectrum. But did you, Tracy? Did you have to go to a seminar to learn to be a lesbian?
No, it was so funny because I'm listening to you. I was in Fry's, right? And I'm listening to the show, and I wanted so badly to call in and say, well, I'm pretty sure I've told you what Jazz still calls me. She calls me a dykeling.
Because you're so new at it?
Yes.
Well, no, I mean, if I were you, I'd feel a little left out. They're out there giving, Sandy Rios says they're out there giving how to be a lesbian seminars, and you didn't even get an invite. It reminds me of when Peter Godbold would talk about the gay agenda, and he said, how gay do I have to be to get on the goddamn facts list?
See, here's the thing. That's why I was crying. I'm trying to maintain my composure while I'm in line at Fry's. And for those of you who don't know, Fry's is a big box store with electronics and appliances, TVs, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like... Well,
we're not going to go into more appliance porn, are we?
No.
Okay. Well, no, don't. I can't.
I did cook on... I have to... Okay, so we're going to... See, it's your fault. I did...
Carol Baker wants to know... Did you have to go to Lesbanese College over there in Beirut?
See, and that's what upsets me, because I could have had, you know, amazing travel and gone to exotic places, to Beijing. Did they have a scholarship program? Because, damn, the notion, I'm still learning, and I'm like, well, shit.
Yeah, but you know what? You didn't want to go to no lesbian big tent convention in Beijing, because when you come up for air, the air ain't fit to breathe.
That's true. So it's like these places where they're having, like in Brazil with the Olympics. I'm like, really, guys? There was no...
Oh, you know, haven't talked about it, but what a mess.
There's no graft happening in Brazil.
It's going to be so much... It's going to be so... because the Olympics is all about the sporting tradition that goes back to the days of ancient Athens. You know, I wonder if the Athenian...
You know, they were naked when they did those games.
Well,
right?
Yeah, and I'm wondering if they hauled their naked Greek asses out of the river or the pond or wherever they were having the swimming competition, and their asses rotted off. Because see the water in Rio, where they're going to do like the rowing and stuff, and the stream or wherever the hell it is so damn polluted, like your skin burns if you get wet.
And let's not talk about the mosquito. What is it? The one that Rita said that's how Prince died. What is it?
The Zika virus.
Right.
Yeah. Don't nobody get pregnant. Don't nobody get pregnant at the Olympics.
Okay. Or bring that shit back again. There's no graft going on there, but.
By the way, the Republicans in the Congress more or less shut down Zika research funding till next year.
Of course,
they're kind of hoping that one in their White House might get bit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. See, it's
So back to a quick food. It's going to be a quick combination food porn, cooking, baking. So I baked something, and I was somebody showed me on Facebook, and it was an apple something tart thing that I made with cinnamon.
Now, I haven't eaten food for 4 days, and we're going to do this, right?
But you had the nerve to do the chicken and dumpling dish yesterday. So you know what? At my stomach, I was so hungry that I was almost in tears listening to you talk about the gravy and all that. So you're just going to have to sit through this.
Okay. I'm shutting up now.
So you that's on you, boo. That's on you. But it was, you know, I caramelized apples and brown sugar and butter.
I'm not going to make it.
And then you do that, and then you cut up the Pillsbury cinnamon rolls, and you throw those together, and you do a kind of like a egg batter thing with cinnamon and sugar and stuff, and you put that over the cinnamon rolls, and then you put the caramelized apples in that, and then you bake it in. And I baked it in my oven of wonder. And then you top it off with ice cream. So that was the combination, because you know, I used my convection part of the oven for the first time. I've never cooked in a convection oven, and it does make a difference. So now we got the combination food porn and that. So yeah, so back to me trying not to cry in line. See, it fries about her, this crazy woman going on and on about the Lebanese women and the lesbians. And why did I get the invitation to the school? But, you know, these things that these people come up with, and I love, you know, about the libel and the slander. This is, I love your how your mind works. Because who was it? Was it Carol Baker? They said, well, how is it libel if you're speaking it? But then I've often wondered, how is that libel? They said it, but you clarified it because, what is it, because of broadcast or what is it? If they say it over the air, or how?
Well, it's libel if it's published. It's slander if it's spoken.
Right.
But published encompasses broadcast too, traditionally.
Right. Right. And so I'm just like, you know, but like you said, we have cultivated a culture. Well, not us, but the people in charge of shit, that people can say whatever the fuck they want, and there's no consequences. Like you were talking about, was it Alex Jones that was? And see, you know, you could talk about Barack Obama all you want, but when you talk about my girl Michelle, I'm about to take off my ring, okay, and take off the earrings to get the Vaseline. Let's do this, bitch. You know, and when you talk about Malia and Sasha, you raise something in me that I didn't even know that I was angered, that I didn't even know I was capable of having, because how dare you? They are so pissed off that Barack Obama, and especially his wife and his daughters, have gone through this last 8 years without, I don't know, like the Bush daughters, how many times did they get arrested for drunk driving or whatever the fuck they did?
Oh. Drunk on the floor, underage in a bar in Austin, right.
What would have happened had that been Malik? Had that been Sasha and Malia?
I feel confident that there will never be an incident like that with Sasha or Malia.
No.
Because Michelle will jerk, because Michelle will jerk a knot in their asses.
Oh, I would be.
I mean, she's been an active mother. She hasn't just been first lady; she's also been first mother. Right. And she's not, you know, she's not one of those absentee moms like Laura Pickles Bush, you know, sitting back and having a margarita and a Librium.
Right. No, you know who I would be more afraid of? I would be more afraid of Grandma, because Grandma raised Michelle.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, that's that's called extended family.
Right, because I know my I remember my grandmother, and I was more terrified. You know, grandmother's supposed to be these, you know, these you know, ladies sitting in the rocking chair and knitting and
bullshit.
Bullshit.
No.
My grandmother Daisy, she terrified the bejesus. I mean, not terrified that I was afraid of her, but you know that certain fear that you need, that all children should have of their elders. And it's a fear that is wrapped around respect. You know, respect is wrapped around that fear. It's a healthy fear. You know.
Well, I mean, that's like here in Appalachia, Tracy. You know, we know what the horrors were of the men who went down in the mines, and we know right. And we know what happened to them in all too many instances. What we don't know is what happened to the women who survived.
Exactly.
And they were tougher than cast iron.
Absolutely.
And in oh so many instances, it was the women of Appalachia who kept such culture as we had hanging together by a thread.
Exactly.
Because if they fell apart, the children died. And even when the men folk didn't get blown up, gassed, crushed, or otherwise killed in the mines, it was the women of Appalachia who kept the family going, because when he wasn't working, Daddy was laid up drunk.
Absolutely. Well, it's like in any oppressed culture, it's always the women that hold the shit together. I mean, you know, the archetype of the strong black woman. It is exhausting. It's just exhausting being black in this country anyway. It's exhausting being a woman and then being a black woman at that. But then you go on the thing of having to keep your child, keep your family together. When you have people like Hillary and Bill to thank for the expanding of the prison industrial complex and, you know, mandatory minimum sentencing. And then yet another reason why I don't understand why Negroes are voting for Hillary Clinton. But then again, you listen to, you know, Bernie is not getting the play and the prep that he should be getting. He's doing a hell of a job considering what he's up against. People are hearing, but then it's like, it's almost like we have been so brainwashed into thinking that we have to vote a certain way. That, you know, it's okay not to agree and tote the party line or whatever. That is why I'm not a registered Democrat. You know, I am for the California primary, you know, but I will change it back to, you know, the party affiliation. Because it's just, again, the letter that you read earlier about the scam that is the two-party system. Because it's not representing, it is not a representation of this country.
Well, no, it's not. It's the best thing. The two-party system is more or less an evolved creature that is the result of the best thing that the wealth class of 1787 could come up with. If you read Federalist Number 10, James Madison ties himself in knots trying to deal with the issue of what was then referred to in the language of the time as faction. It was on its way into being before George Washington was inaugurated the first time, although he had people from both sides of the aisle in his administration. As much as you want to see Hamilton, and as much as I'd love to sit there and watch it with you, you got to remember Alexander Hamilton was a big part of the problem in that regard.
Exactly.
But, you know, by the election of 1802, the wheels had come completely off. And it only gets meaner and nastier as you get toward the election of Andrew Jackson, the proponent of genocide. And you know, he had some things to be angered about. His beloved wife Rachel was smeared relentlessly by the Whigs, and ultimately she had a heart attack and died. And to his last breath, Andrew Jackson blamed it on the stress of dealing with that emotional turmoil. He felt like his political opponents had killed his beloved Rachel as much as if they had put a gun to her head and pulled the trigger.
And that was before Facebook.
Yeah. Oh no. And that's another thing. All these precious little thin-skinned hilarians, who act like that I don't think they understand. I don't think they understand the United States that they live in.
No, they can't. Because then again, if they're so thin-skinned, Bob, that they get so freaked out over the slightest and it's not even, we're not even insulting Hillary, we're just calling her out on the shit she has said and done.
Yeah, I mean, I started out mentioning it this evening, her laughing about an evil man being raped to death with a sword.
Exactly.
Of course, she, if you watch the video, she's like, it's unconfirmed. We came, we saw, he died. I guess maybe at that time, she didn't know that Gaddafi, and this is to be fair, maybe at that time, she didn't know that Gaddafi had been raped to death with a sword.
Because every time you say that story, until you mentioned it yesterday, I had no idea that they had done that to that man.
And to be fair, it was Libyans who did it, but it was Libyans acting with our support.
Again, you go into these countries and you rip out what's working or what's not working, but you have no plan. It's like what's going on at my church. We have been in turmoil for over a year now, because when people left, there was no action plan. There was nothing. Okay, this person's in charge. There was nothing put in place. So how in the fuck do you think people are going to be able to function if you have no game plan? If you just go in and, like you did in Honduras, Janet and I were in Honduras over the holiday, right? And because remember I sent you guys.
Yes, yes.
And when you were talking about, the woman that they have murdered, and I was remembering at that, because it's so funny until people mention stuff, at the things that you remember, so you forget more than you'll ever remember. But when you have those triggers, when somebody says something and then it brings it back to memory. And so when Jen and I were in Honduras, which was just a God, it was so beautiful. It hurt my heart. It's so beautiful, okay? We did a private tour. We hired this wonderful young man who's, fluent in four languages, the whole shebang. He took us, all around the island. But here's the thing, as with, the abject poverty. And again, this is before I knew, until yesterday, I had no idea. And you've been talking about Honduras for a little while, off and on for a little while. And it didn't click for me what I saw until you started talking about it. And how we drove by a bank and there's armed guards outside of the bank with automatic weapons and lines to get in and out the bank. And all this poverty and how, They don't want you to, please don't play us in our currency. Please give us American dollars. And then I'm thinking about how much of this are we responsible, you know, and like I'm seeing, listening to what you're talking about, and how much of this poverty and this strife and this what's going on are we as Americans responsible for? And how much of this is Hillary Clinton? See, because until you go someplace, you know, Honduras, until December of last year, Honduras was just a place on the map for me, Bob. But see, I've been there. Just like, you know, if I ever go to Haiti, you know, Haiti is just a place on the map. Or these Chile and all these other places where we as, you know, Americans have done.
Well, you know, you could always just come to West, instead of going to Haiti, you could always just come to West Virginia and go to McDowell County, where a man born there has less of a life expectancy than a man in Haiti.
Right. That wasn't that, I think I put this on my Facebook page, that Bernie Sanders was talking about, you know, Native Americans. And how he's like, how is it that, a man, somebody born, you know, has 18 years left than a man who was born in, like, a county next to him or whatever it was. His life expectancy is cut by 18 years, and he lives.
Yeah, well, three. Yeah, you drive 6 hours north, and the life expectancy goes up 18 years.
How are we? And then we keep voting these people or not?
Well, because it's okay to ignore hillbillies. Because it's okay to exploit Appalachia. Because that's what we're here for, Appalachian people.
Oh, I got, see, this is...
To live and die, to live and die for the coal industry. That's our only purpose in life. That's the only purpose in life my father had, the only purpose in life my grandfather, my great-grandfather, all the grandmothers. We lived to serve the coal company. That's why God made us.
Yeah, because why? Money. So yesterday, you know, one of my favorite channels, you know, what I called it, the ID channel, you know, White People Gone Wild.
Yeah.
This my, or better yet, it's the Murder, Death, Kill channel. So yesterday, or actually it was yesterday morning, because I wake up and I fall asleep and wake up to that channel, and they were talking about that director who was filming, you know, decided not to pay attention to safety laws and stuff and filmed a movie and, you know, had this hospital bed on the train tracks or what have you, Knight Rider or something, and one woman got killed and he wound up going to jail, right? And he was going to do some serious time. I mean, I think he had to do like 2 years in jail, and it was 10 years total that for those 10 years he could not direct any movies, the whole shebang, right? And that was from killing one woman. Right, and then you're listening to you talk about who's that asshole, Don Blankenship? Is that the one? Is Blankenship?
Yes. Now a resident of the state of California.
And see, that was those things when I'm listening to you and I'm screaming, wishing that I had a hockey puck, because again, when you said, and guess where he's going to serve his time, and I'm screaming, I'm a motherfucking boy. Because, of course, he can't do his time in the state that he, you know, did the deed because, you know, snow.
Because somebody, even in a club fed, somebody, if he was to serve his time in West Virginia, somebody even in club fed might shank his ass.
Exactly. Yeah, so you got to send him out to California. You know, this is like why you had the O.J., you know, Rodney King trial is being out. You know, you got to make sure you're going to get the result that you want, and you want this man to live. So, and like you said, how many people died because of this man?
29. Well, 29 in one incident, two in another in another.
And he got how much? 1 year in club bed, and he probably won't even do the year.
By the way, Devin just awarded you a toaster for the Murder, Death, Kill channel remark. Hey Tracy, I got to wrap things up tonight, but it has been a blast. It's been an absolute delight, as it always is. And
you know me.
Yes.
The challenge wasn't met yesterday.
Diane from Kansas, Stan, jumped in and met it. So that would mean that would mean that, like, you know, we're if we're back into our regular fundraising, we're back at, you know, around $200.
Okay. I'm going to do a $100 challenge. And you know what you got? You have to remind me.
I will. I will. I absolutely will. I just look. So I feel so rotten. I hate the fundraising so much.
I have the memory of a special needs gnat. Okay.
Okay. What are you trying to get two toasters tonight? Special needs gnat.
Yes.
Okay, I will remind you, but only if the challenge is met, like between now and airtime tomorrow.
Okay.
So there's a $100 challenge on the table, courtesy of Tracy, the lady cab driver. Thank you, Tracy, and thank you for forbearing a little bit with me and only making me weep as you described the, you know, the apple tart with the caramelized apples. And damn, I'm hungry.
I'm sorry, Boo Boo. I am so sorry, but I love you.
I love you too. Tracy, have a good night.
You have a wonderful night. And to my Horn family, love y'all. And who knows, hopefully you'll get the machine working tomorrow so we can have Friday on the front porch.
I want to. I'm going to have to be in Charleston tomorrow. You know, it's about 60 miles away. I'm going to have to be in Charleston tomorrow. I think there's a Best Buy down there, and I may be able to go down and find an audio interface somewhere.
You know what? If you can let me know what it is, I will send it to you.
Yeah, but it can't get here by tomorrow.
Yes, it can. If it's on Amazon, it can.
No. I know, but at this hour, they can't get it to me because I'm in Eastern time, remember?
Oh, that's right. I forget. But you never know.
But I appreciate it. And that's the thing. I don't necessarily know what I'm going to have to, because the thing that worked for like 7 or 8 years, they don't make anymore because Windows 10 doesn't like it.
Oh,
and because the manufacturer orphaned the damn software on it.
Those damn packages or whatever the fuck they are. Those upgrades and bullshit. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this thing came out. Maybe it came out when XP was the thing. Or maybe it was before that. What was before XP? Windows 2000. But anyway, so there was an XP driver. And then there was a 7 driver, and no, there was an XP driver, then there was a Vista driver, then there was a 7 driver,
and it's driving you to distraction.
Yeah, and then it was orphaned. And the problem is, I mean, the reason I loved it so much is it had one input, one output, and a USB thing on it. And it weighs, you know, it weighs less than a pack of cigarettes. And they don't make that anymore.
Yep. Of course not. Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it comes to fruition, and that we have Friday on it for parts because we need it. We do.
We badly do. And quite honestly, I'm hoping I feel good enough to do it. It was, not that I'm up on the cross with my IRNI sign over me, but it was tough getting into the chair this evening because there's a lot of pain involved. But you know what? I feel better when I'm done than I did when I started. That's the beauty of all of this, at least for me.
Exactly. So anyway, I love you. You need to take care of yourself. And I'm sorry, not completely sorry, but kind of sorry for the food porn.
No, actually, it did. did my heart good. At least somebody's enjoying it out there. I mean, you want to talk? You want to talk about torturing yourself? Get hold of a book by Jim Harrison, who recently died, but was a brilliant writer, called "The Raw and the Cooked." You know, he was a hunter, an outdoorsman, you know, fisherman, etc., wing shooter, but he was also a gourmand. And,
oh wow!
And the way he casually mentions this bottle of wine or that bottle of wine, and the recipes that he concocts out in his cabin in the woods, and these are essays he wrote in 1989 before there even was food porn.
I've been
reading that, going, well, that sounds good. I'll never eat that. That sounds good. Can't have that. Oh, that sounds yummy. Ain't gonna have that. I mean, I'm getting all hot and bothered at the prospect of maybe in 3 days or so being able to have a bowl of chicken broth.
Okay. Anyway, I'm gonna let, because I know I'm pretty sure there's somebody else that wants to talk besides me. But it was again amazing. Amazeballs.
Oh, you remembered. Damn it. Tracy, have a good night, dear.
You too, my dear.
Bye now.
Bye.
Oh, the irrepressible, inimitable lady cab driver. That's Tracy. Asa said, what in God's name was that constant ding-dong in Tracy's car? It sounded like she was invoking Siri every 30 seconds. I assumed it had something to do with the taxi cab business, but one never knows. 16 minutes before the hour. Again, thank you very kindly last night to Labor Man, and thank you very kindly to the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas, Stan, for answering his challenge. There is now a $100 challenge on the table, courtesy of Tracy. And thank you very, very much. I hate the fundraising thing, but it is, you know, what it is if we want to continue to have, you know, independent progressive conversation radio. Note coming in from our longtime old buddy, Jay Cruzen. Subject line, go ahead and vote for her. You do that, Bob. Vote for Hillary. Forget about all her baggage, corruption, lying, warmongering, racist comments, and two-faced politics. I would go into her actual problems, but you know them all too well. So vote for her. Put Bill back in the White House. God help us. So vote for her. Spend the next 4 years bitching about how badly she's cutting the throats of working people. Bitch about it when she bails out the big banks again. Bitch about it when she starts another war. Bitch about it when not a fucking thing gets done on climate change. Bitch about it when net neutrality dies forever. Bitch about it when mountaintop removal is ramped up instead of ended. Bitch about it when she signs TPP. I could go on all night, and by no means do I think Trump would be any better. Ah, there is that. Just remember, during all that bitching on the air about how bad she is, I'll be sitting here shaking my head and say, well, you voted for her, Bob. If it isn't Bernie, I'm done. No more voting the lesser of two evils for me. Evil is evil. Good night and good luck, Jay Cruzen. And that's the thing. By no means do I think Trump would be any better. I take it a step further. I think Trump, because he is the GOP nominee, and because the GOP is fast coalescing around him, because that's what Republicans do. They always circle the wagon. They maintain message discipline. They maintain order. They march when they're told to march, damn it. A GOP Congress, which we're going to have in November still, or more precisely in January, with a GOP president appointing the likes of David Pryor to the Supreme Court. That man must have a that man probably has a stiffy that's poking out his robe right now at the thought of all the of all the lesbians and transgendered people and gay folk and intersexed people and queer questioning that he can fuck once a Republican Senate confirms him onto the bench. I'll be thinking about that too. I am thinking about that. Sometimes, stasis, or what we call gridlock, is all we can hope for. It would have been nice when he had a semblance of a Democratic Congress if Barack Obama could have gotten more done, or done what he did a little bit more progressively. Mountaintop removal has not gone away under 8 years of Barack Obama. God knows I wish it had. God knows we have begged and pleaded. I'm not forgetting about her baggage. I know it all the way down to my toenails. I also know that when the Republican Congress impeaches her, which they will do. I mean, Jesus, a blowjob, really? They impeached over a blowjob? And they didn't pay a price for it. They didn't lose their majorities. They may have lost a few members here and there, but it didn't really cost them anything. God knows they got the presidency in 2000. By hook or by crook, and by that I mean by crook. But you know what? She can't bail out the banks without a Congress. She can only start limited wars without a Congress. A president can, as Barack Obama, having made at least some effort, has shown to us, can do only the most limited of things on climate change without a Congress. And I'll say this. If I do vote for her, which I have said I will do if she is the nominee, I will have purchased at the cost of my own conscience the right to speak up and speak out if she does any of the horrible things that you have enumerated, Chick Cruzen. And you may rest assured that if I am here, I will. I haven't shrunk from criticizing President Obama when he has screwed up. After all, we created the cabinet-level position of the Secretary of Jesus, Barack! They can't ramp up mountaintop removal much more than it already is. And so if you want to sit there and shake your head and say, well, you voted for her, Bob, you are more than welcome so to do. But if there is even a 1% chance as compared to a President T-Rump, that my daughter's and my granddaughter's rights will not be taken away from them, It will pay the cost of my conscience. If she vetoes one goddamn piece of legislation coming out of the Congress attacking a bill that attacks poor people trying to get services at Planned Parenthood, it will have been worth the price of my conscience. So there's that. I see Todd trying to call in on the 8178 line. That ain't working right now, Todd. If you want to jump into the program, call 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN, and we can chat for these last few minutes. So much stuff out there. Maybe we'll... Maybe we'll get to some more of it tomorrow. As I said, I have a very, very, very early day tomorrow. I have to be in Charleston at about no later than 6 or a little after. So hopefully we'll be good to go at 6 p.m. EDT, and I'll get to go over to Best Buy. All right, let's see if we can converse for a couple of minutes with Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
Oh, man, I hope you feel better.
I do, too. This not eating thing gets under one's skin after a while.
4 days?
They have 5, really.
Yeah, that's, I don't have any verbiage for that. That's not good.
It's the price I pay for, having a 1 in a million birth defect.
Oh, is it the gallbladder issue?
Well, it's the backwards gut, the gallbladder, and the pancreas all together.
Holy shit. Okay.
It's called metabolic syndrome.
Yeah. That's a terrible combination. Okay. Well, I don't want to agitate you, but, I felt bad when you started describing the names that people are calling you when you are simply telling the truth about the South and, The impotency.
Oh, no. I'm a racist, Todd, because I said, apparently black votes don't matter to Bernie supporters.
Mm-mm. No.
And I'm not going to mention the person in question because I'm not going to give the free publicity.
Exactly. And I'll say it. I mean, that's what I've been saying because I live around and so this part of my family who does not agree with them. But, it's the middle-aged and older black women who are well-organized, and, they're beholden to a myth, just like a lot of folks are beholden to the myth of Reagan. These people are beholden to the myth of Clinton and the Clintons, and, it's a sad commentary. I wouldn't have made a difference, but it would have been perceptually, it would have been different because it would have made Bernie look more like a winner, maybe. That's just part of the problem.
Well, the whole institutional structure of the DNC, and the way that, frankly, people of color are used and presumed upon in the Democratic Party, is pretty disgusting, Todd. Now, they, and this is not me saying, well, why aren't there more black Republicans? That's a self-answering question. Bernie couldn't wage the campaign in the South that he would have needed to wage in order to put a dent in Hillary's lock down there, because he did not have the millions upon millions of dollars on the front end. He only began raising that money in earnest after he showed that he was in earnest about running the campaign. So there wasn't much campaign cash to do market saturation in a Talabama or a Tennistan or an Arkanstan or God knows and he tried in South Carolina stand, but some of my more inside baseball friends there say that he had a terrible ground game in South Carolina.
Well, it was a business decision on Bernie's part, which I don't blame. I totally agree with him. Why would you put money into a sinking boat? Okay.
But it's also a strategic decision, Todd, because that sinking boat was towing the nomination. You see, the number of delegates that she got out of those landslides in the South are what makes it so incredibly difficult for Bernie to have a shot at the nomination.
Right. Well, exactly. I mean, the fact that Bernie is this close is utterly amazing, like you said, because he had to be prodded and pulled to he thought about it for a while. You know, he's been on Hartman for years, Brunch with Bernie. And, you know, people had to pull him in. And by that time, he didn't have the ground set up. He didn't have the infrastructure here, you know, anywhere in the South. And it's, you know, come on.
And let's remember, you know, one of the things, you're a racist. 55% of the Democratic voters in the South are black. Well, that means 45% aren't. But, you know, don't devil the little thin-skinned Hilarians with facts, you know, they'll call you something. Those are percentage numbers, though. But you know what? Do you know what 55% of 100 is? 55. And there just aren't that many Democrats in the South.
Now,
Todd, I have long said that Southern progressives are some of the most bold, brave, heroic people that I know. Because it takes a lot of guts.
Are you crazy? You can't put up any Bernie shit around here. Are you fucking crazy?
Well, okay, yeah, exactly. You're echoing something that Lib just sent me. He said, years ago, I wouldn't let my daughter put an Obama bumper sticker on her car. You know, South Carolina.
Right.
Like I said, it's a key me and key me and slash my tires sign.
No, you, it's not prudent.
No.
hate to use that word, but yeah, you know, so it's just the name calling nonsense. You know, it's without basis, and you know, these folks are just, they don't understand what it's like here, and they don't understand. That's all I can say. They don't understand, but the other, we have to change. This is a wake-up call because the process, you know, I'm learning a lot about process from Daily Coast. And, you know, the process. It's about that we have to change.
Well, it goes back to what our buddy Scott says. Take this as a learning opportunity like the Goldwater people did in 1964 and get down in the dirt and do battle. And see, every time when people say, "Well, I'm done with the Democratic Party. I'm never going to take my ball and go home," then okay, you guarantee that nothing changes. You know, and I got to get out of here, but this story's worth telling
right
on the way out the door. Earlier this month, an old guard Republican passed away. His name was Robert Bennett. He had been a rock-ribbed Republican senator from Utah until he got bounced the hell right out of his office by a bunch of mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, flaming asshole teabaggers. And as he died, Todd, his son said he was preoccupied with getting things done that he had felt was left undone. And number one on that list was apologizing for the rise of Donald Trump.
Wow.
It was so profound that before he was hospitalized, he would walk up to people wearing the hijab and say, I'm glad you're in America, and you're welcome here, and I'm a Republican.
Well, if the fascist weirdo does emerge victorious, then, you know, collectively we get what we deserve, and maybe that's what we need, was a good butt kick in it to kick ourselves in gear.
Well, I would not wish that on my worst enemy. I would not wish Donald Trump on the people that want Donald Trump. Todd, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here, but I hope we will talk again soon.
Thanks, my buddy.
Later now. Bye.
Take care.
Our buddy Todd down in South Carolina, Stan. We do. We got to get out of here. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining in the conversation. I hope to be back tomorrow night. Until then, take care. Good night, y'all.